Hello, I'm Rob London. Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with the Great British Bake Off back on the telly, where are my two soggy-bottomed podcasters? Firstly, he's our South of the River Prueleith, with baked statistics that rise perfectly every time. It's Sam.
Hello.
And also, no, it's not Noel Fielding, but he is our mighty boosh. It's Dennis.
Right.
Now, just skipping from one TV show to the next, Sam, I think probably the most important thing on this podcast we should start with is, who's going to win Strictly?
It was a mighty 2.5 hour episode, wasn't it?
I'm thinking the blind lad. Thinking the blind lad might win it.
Mrs. Jesus. Sankey was glued to it.
He's got his hands all over her, hasn't he? Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Just because he's blind, he's feeling her up and down, left, right and centre.
I got the perfect one from my mother at the weekend. How blind is he?
Yeah. Dirty bastard. Yeah, I reckon that as well. How are you, Dennis?
All right. As long as we're not going to talk about Strictly.
Okay. So. Settle back in now to the being back in Blighty.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, it's although it does seem like a bit of a long time ago since I was stuck in that pop top, doesn't it? But here I am, I've been released. News this week, I'm going to go off topic, but have you heard about that mini moon? Because we were on about the Mighty
Yes.
Boosh.
Yeah. Not quite in an orbit, is it? Not quite in
no.
a perfect symmetry to the Earth.
Do you not think we should have heard about that way before, like the week before? Oh, by the way, this asteroid's coming to circle the Earth.
Well, to be honest, my Auntie Rita used to pop in quite a bit without asking. You know, all of a sudden she was there. You would never know she was on her way. There'd be the doorbell ago.
Did she used to leave a bit of a trail as well? The asteroid.
Just edit that. What number? What time is that? We just need to do the first. Right, here we go. Review. London at home. The team was Dufty, Foulis, Lindop, King and Ashton. Halves were Williams and Drinkwater. Front row, Yates, Walker and Musgrove. 11, 12 and 13 stayed the same. Bateman, Nicholson and Curry. Interchange bench was Powell, Wood, Crowther and Harrison. Philbin dropped out due to fitness concerns. And the best centre in World Rugby League, Roderick Tye, was missing due to a sprained ankle. So, as the regular season comes to an end, here's the highlights.
Here is Ashton through the gap, the move on the short side, and it's two tries for Matty Ashton. The Walker now, Walker, lovely pass from Nicholson, and it's a third try, and nothing that the London defence could do about that. Seasons change. Good hands again, but a look as it picked up on the bounce by Ashton. Ashton going for the hat trick. Ashton stretches over. Another kick over the top by Williams. Bounces wrong there for Fewlett. Still manages to get it back for Williams. Williams down for Lindop. Lindop could be away. Does he need support? Lindop will go and score a fabulous Warrington try. Stewart tries to get inside. He does get inside. He's still going. Gets the up round and Lindop scores before half time. And Lindop scores just after half time. Harrison charging for the line. Harrison managed to get the ball down. It looks like he has. It's another Warrington try. People change. The some people never do. Williams with again with a no-look pass in. Lindop and Fewlett. Fewlett going for the line. Fewlett going for the corner.
One, two.
from Bateman to Mickelson. Mickelson, has he managed to get the ball down? Dufty will be all ready for next week, and so will Warrington, and so will Matty Ashton, and so will Ben Curry as they hit 50. Brilliant, brilliant move on that left-hand side.
Final score, Warrington 54. London nil. There were tries, 3 for Ashton, 2 for Nicholson and Lindop. Harrison, Thulis and Curry also got over the line. Conversions, Thulis 7 from 10. Attendance was 10,192. Now, Sam, we're going to have to rely on you. You were there, I presume. You went to the game.
Because I did, yes. Yeah.
Dennis and I were seeing double for the first 15 minutes.
Yes. It's awful.
Yeah, I believe you all. I didn't have the same issues, to be fair, because I wasn't drinking, so I wasn't seeing double for once.
So we could have been actually seeing it through the glasses of Sam Sankey in other weeks. That's what they were doing.
Yes,
we were,
that would be goggle
vision.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
that's why I always think Ben Curry goes around the pitch at twice the speed or taking up twice as much ground.
Right? Have you had a stroke midweek? What's happened?
It's all this off the cuff stuff we do, innit? We catch him out sometimes.
Oh, it throws me. Can we not have a running order like we used to?
No, this is what it is.
Now, to spice this up, I thought we could do things in double, because if we do things in double, Drinkwater made 64 metres. But of course he didn't. And the attendance was 20,000, well, just over 20,000. So, you know, good start to the end of the season. But it wasn't the case, Sam. It was just by the time my camera came into vision, Warrington were home and dry.
Yeah, and there was very much an end of season. Well, an end of school. Remember in younger days at school when you...
What did you take in, Sam? What did you take in on the last day? Yeah. We were allowed to take a game in, weren't you? Hey.
Connect Four.
Connect Four. Buckaroo. There was always that one... who had... computer battleships. You know, the rich lad.
Did he just say what I thought he said? What are you going on about?
Last day of school, you'd be able to take a game in. Not do that.
No,
north
no,
of the river.
Just didn't bother going.
There was always a pretense that there was going to be lessons. And that's what it was like, really. There was a game going on. We'd scored 3 tries. We were up early. And then I got the Lee St. Helens game on my phone, and the man next to me got the Hull KR Leeds, and we would keep checking who was in sixth and whether Warrington were potentially going to go second.
Not the transistor radio next to the ear like it used to be.
Not anymore, not these days.
Visual. Mm. Well, I mean, the player I want to talk about the most, actually, wasn't playing for Warrington, but we'll come on to him in the news section a bit later. And that was Ollie Leyland. Now... Again, he's not impressed me what I've seen. Yet again, I thought he had a very poor game.
Yeah, he was limping around from about 20 minutes in and he went off either at or just after half time.
Needs to learn to tackle round the legs. Keeps going high and getting pushed off because he's only 4'3".
I was going to say, isn't he just another like Leon Hayes? That's what I thought. I saw the stature of the fella, and I thought he just looks like Leon Hayes. And I thought, you know, Rob slagged him off all year about, you know, him being too small. It does seem that we're getting a replacement or another similar person. Rob, what do you think?
Well, my little boy was watching the new Willy Wonka the other night, and they've gone away from dwarfism because it's no longer PC. So they've got Hugh Grant playing the little Umpa Lumpa. They've just shrunk him down. But I think it would be perfectly PC to have Ollie Leyland and Leon Hayes in the film. I think that would be all right, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, right. I see where you're going now with that, yeah. It's really unsettling Sam, that this scene.
Well, could you imagine if Dufty and Williams are rested next year for a game and we end up with Leon Hayes, Ollie Leyland and Kai Taylor-Ray at the back? You know, it'd be a pretty sizable three, that, wouldn't it?
He's overstepped them out with that sort of comment, anyway.
Let me look in the PC book and see if that's No, it's fine. End of season, that's fine. When you can say that in the playoffs. There's one song in New Willy Wonka, this thing in the Gene Wilder one. I put it on and said, this is a better version. No, they're not interested. No, not interested in the original anymore. So that was a bit disappointing. No, not at all. Not at all. But there we go. Right, have we covered it off then? Anything else we're going to add? I like the look of Lindop. Now, is Lindop, does Lindop need to replace Toby King, Sam? Where because we can't, you know, obviously Roderick Ty is the best centre in World Rugby League, but would you be giving it, I mean, would you be concerned if Toby King was injured?
Not anymore, no. And you would expect, all things going in the right direction, that Lindop will improve again, ready for next year. He'll have a full pre-season. Mm. And if nothing else, genuinely, I still think Holroyd's a bit small. I think we're all of that opinion. But when you look at the minutes Holroyd's played, the minutes Lindop has played, and the minutes Ty Taylor-Rave played, that's positive for the squad. That whether any of them can take that next step and become first choice and very good. But Lindop looks like he's got a chance, doesn't he?
Mm. Do you think for the end of season podcast, I just noticed the other day, I was on Patreon looking at our patrons, and thanks to all the ones that, you know, pay a few pounds every week. Our last patron is Simon Moran. And I have his email now. Shall I email him and see? Because obviously he's a fan of the pod. He's tuning in every week. He's become a patron. So what do you reckon, Dennis? Get him on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we could get him on and discuss, you know, and negotiate, you know.
You could cover music with him, Dennis. You know your music scene, and he obviously knows his music scene. This could be
a big scoop. He supports a different thing now, though, doesn't he? So he does different music than what we'd like.
But could he potentially donate 3 tickets for us to give away in the end of season raffle?
That's a good idea.
And the winners clearly would be an S. Sankey, a D. Waywell, and
another.
Yeah, the winner gets 1 ticket to Oasis, the runner-up gets 3. I like it. That could be a good idea.
Yeah, okay.
game percentages, carries, Y was 62% of the game of the carries. They also post-contact meters was 67%. Runs from dummy half, though, 50-50. Tackles, London had to make 57% of the tackles, and play of the ball in the opposition 20, 75% of the play of the balls in the opposition 20 went to Warrington. I mean, it wasn't quite as dominant as the Huddersfield game, Sam, but you have to question some of these teams in Super League, don't you? What are they bringing to the... Is it just there's just a lack of quality, isn't there, among some of these squads?
Yeah, there is. However, I am going to stick up a little bit for London. They do have a bit of an excuse. They overachieved last year, came up from 5th in the championship. And to be fair, they perhaps should have been a bit more ready for it, because if you're in the lower competition and aiming for promotion, you hope to be ready. But they came up from 5th, so really they were a mid-table championship team. Mm. And you can't go against effort. And actually what it brings into question is how poor Hull were to be at a similar level to London.
Yeah, but also London knew at the start of the year, before the season even kicked off, they were going to be relegated. So they basically turned around and said, well, there's no point us recruiting. Can't recruit anyone. You don't go along for a job and they say, oh, by the way, it's only a 12-month contract because we're going to shut down the factory at the end of the year.
The guy who owns it has now said he's off now, isn't he?
Is he?
Yes.
There we go.
That's what I mean. They're finished now, so that's the end of London. Oh. Unless somebody big like Simon Moran, we could, you know, buy him and maybe have a feeder club for the franchise seasons of the future.
I like it. Room 101. If you went on Room 101 and had to put one thing from Rugby League into Room 101, what would you put in, Sam? The play of the ball? Is that what you'd put in?
Oh, don't get me. I've managed to stay off that most of the year. Don't get me ticking on that. What would I put in? Scrums.
Oh, you're getting rid of scrums.
Not getting rid of. I'd want them back proper. But so the current scrum.
is what you put. Dennis, any upgrade on room 101 you'd like to stick in?
I would put in goal areas of 5 metres and under, or whatever, or 10 metres and under.
Oh, that's old. That's old and finished. They'd be done then.
Well, yeah. It was a few finished. Castleford would be done. So it's not too bad, is it? It's working out quite well. But I'd like to see the in-goals like they have in the NRL, where the, you know, it adds more to the kicking option from further out, because you've got a bit more,
bit
space
more
to play with.
Right, excellent.
What about you, Mr. London?
Well, I've got a new one. Could I put in the commentator, the co-commentator that did the Warrington-London game? Because I have no idea what she offered. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, Sam, you didn't see this. So after the visuals, we then started to be tortured and tormented by this woman who just kept droning on in this Aussie accent.
That's racist.
And it was like, oh, Jesus.
She was I'm not being sexist or racist, but she was shit. She just stated the bleeding obvious for 60 minutes. I only lasted 10 minutes. I don't mind the other guy, Pike. Quite like him. Don't mind him at all. He does the darts, I think, doesn't he? But, oh, my goodness. What's the point? What if you're going to have a co-commentator, at least have a co-commentator who brings something to the game. So, room 101. Sorry.
I think if John Wells and she could just concentrate on the whole matches next year, that'd be great.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Well, gentlemen, at this time of the year, I'm like a pig in shit, or like a pig in shitistics. I do like the end of season when all the tables and the numbers and the comparisons come out. And there has been a lot already in the press for the numbers this season.
Just before you do this, will Rob be auditing your statistics for the season?
Oh, he can audit them, no problem.
Oh, excellent. Because IMG don't do any auditing, but we're more competent than IMG, aren't we? So I will be auditing this. If you could send through the papers later, Sam. Thank you.
You can audit them. And not only can you audit them, but if you can stand all the pop-ups, then Matt Turner has done quite a comprehensive piece in the Warrington Guardian with all the numbers.
On the Warrington Guardian, my pop-up at the moment seems to be someone who's had some kind of Russian poisoning. It's a bloke in a bed with no hair. Have you seen him? you know the one they got in London that, you know, spoke out they put the umbrella in his leg, and what have they actually putting like lithium or something into them, aren't they? I'm not sure what it is. Mm-hmm. Every time I go on the Warrington Guardian, there's this bloke with no hair, like in a hospital bed. It's really depressing. I don't know who he is.
I knew Dennis, it was probably something of a risk to mention the Warrington Guardian.
Yes.
Or even the Rugby League Project website is an excellent way. Anyway, forget that, because despite finishing third, we still managed to score the most points and concede the fewest in the league. But how does that compare? So, Sam Burgess in his season one in Super League only has finished with a win record of 74.1%.
Wow.
So since the grand final was reintroduced back in 1998, that is equal second best win percentage. Right. Second only behind the Tony Smith team of 2011, that was 81.5%.
Wow. How does that compare to David Plange?
Slightly better. Marginally better. Marginal gains. But likewise, the difference between for and against, 232%, again, second only to that excellent 2011 team of Smith's. Our average points scored, 27.4, is actually not that good.
Oh.
There was four Tony Smith teams that averaged in the 30s.
Wow.
So it's not that good. Mm. But, Rob, you're going to like this one.
Tony Barrow.
As Brian Johnson used to say, defence wins matches, and the average points conceded of 11.8 even eclipses the resilient Steve Price team of 2020 to be the fewest points per game conceded since 1998.
Wow, that's a stat and a half, Dennis. That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. Like so Steve Price had one of the best defensive years then.
Correct. Since 1998, when we reintroduced the grand final. Yeah, yeah.
What's happened to the records before 1998? Have they been burnt in a fire? What happened?
Oh, no. Rugby League Project will do that. It just takes a long time to go back manually, doesn't it? And compare every year when you're old-fashioned analog like me.
Yeah, I think Ralph Rimmer's got him in his garage. So he might want to just...
When's he coming on? When's he coming on, Dennis?
Yeah, well, you know, he's busy consulting somewhere. So I don't know where he's up to at the moment. So we'll have to reach out to him.
What I also want to just pick up is a couple of individual performances. We've spoke about the importance of Dufty to our attack. Well, Dufty and Williams together. We have scored 126 tries this year, and these two, either as the try scorer or the assist, have had a direct hand in 28% of those 126 tries. Mm. But bear in mind, Dufty's missed 5 games and Williams has missed 6. So imagine what the numbers would be if they'd have played the full season.
So what's the percentage with whilst they were playing?
He hasn't done that, Dennis. He hasn't done that. There's no way he's done
28%.
That.
Oh, sorry, while they were higher. Higher.
Okay. Thanks for that statistic.
Just write that down. Again, higher. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Again, Dufty missed 5 games, but as has been said elsewhere, he managed to be the leading meter maker in the competition with more than 400 more meters than Ryan Hall in second place. But Ryan Hall played all 27 games. Dufty played 22. So quite an amazing statistic, that one for you, or performance from Dufty. And finally, the thing that you really want to know, where on earth is the game going? This last 12 months since Super League, there's been 166 cards shown, of which 21 of them were red. Compared to the prior year, with the same rules,
yes,
just a different interpretation of them. So 166 cards this year, just 86 cards last year.
Oh, fuck off.
And just 8 red.
What's that, an increase in percentage, Sam?
Nearly 100% increase. 90-odd percent.
100% increase nearly. In cards. That's obviously a bit of factor of this fucking about with the video ref going like, he's waiting, and he's going, let's fucking, and whatever. And then he's just, that must have added at least 50% on, surely. Have you got the stats on that? How many times we went upstairs?
93% more it is this year.
It's fucking shit.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Young forwards Max Wood and Tom Whitehead have signed new contracts that will see them both stay at HJ until at least the end of 2027 season. I haven't seen too much of Whitehead this year, Sam, or for that matter, too much of Wood, but I guess good contracts, yeah?
Yeah, I've been really impressed by Max Wood. I was very impressed by Whitehead's, a bit like Holroyd, his tackle, his work rate, very impressive. Not yet seen him making a lot of metres going forwards, But watch as they space. Grow, as they put a bit of weight on.
A rumour on social media broke this week that England rugby union prop Ellis Genge was set to jump rugby codes and join Warrington, the English rugby union prop capped 58 times by his country, soon quashed the link after Bristol Rugby Union Club tweeted, "Ellis Genge is here to stay," a post that was retweeted by Genge with the words, "Love my city." I mean, I don't watch union. I quickly jumped on YouTube and had a look. Yeah, I mean,
you know what this is? This is what was that reading? Oh, it's Fitzpatrick was a fishing event or something and got to know him.
That's
and
this, right.
That and the other. Hmm. It, so as he just like said, "Oh, I'll just say we're interested, and you can push your salary negotiations up a bit with Bristol."
What I've really liked this year is we've hardly heard from Fitzpatrick. It's been an absolute joy to have him sort of put back in his box. You know what I mean? Like Burgess has just totally dominated the press and everything else. And then I thought, are we going to get through the whole season? But we didn't quite make it, did we? Didn't quite make it without some story coming forward. We don't want him anyway, do we? He looks very unfit. And
you don't want any union chaps coming over unless they've proved themselves somewhere else first.
No.
Yeah, it had Luther Burrell written all over it.
Oh, Christ.
God, remember them years.
As expected, Wire have announced Josh Drinkwater will depart the club at the end of the season. To date, the 32-year-old halfback has played 48 times in the Primrose and Blue. The Australian journeyman has played previously at St George and West Tigers in the NRL, plus the London Broncos, Lee, two stints at Catalans, along with a season at Hull KR. It's expected his replacement will be young London Broncos scrum half, Ollie Leyland.
Now, we've touched on this already. Mm. I actually think, as we sit here today, his replacement looks like being Leon Hayes.
Right.
With Leon Hayes' replacement being Ollie Leyland, but we'll see.
Hmm.
In that order.
Dennis, are you happy with Hayes and Leyland?
No.
No, excellent, good.
Good. Yeah, well, I sort of, like, I like Leon Hayes as a backup and stuff, but I think I'd want to see, like you, I'd want to see a bit more of a bigger sort of halfback.
So I've got Hayes as a backup, Leyland as a backup. But we've not got a starting scrum half.
But look at, let's compare him to, like, you know, someone top of the game like Mike Lewis, OKR. You know, look how strong he is, and you know, his stature's a little bit bigger, innit? And
all over.
He does a lot of stuff, you know, on his own and scores tries and stuff. Why are you rushing me along?
I'm not rushing you along. I'm listening to you. It's great. It's great. I really like you. I really like your shirt tonight, Dennis. It's going really well with the stone wall behind. Really?
It's like camouflage.
It looks like something from Brokenback Mountain, doesn't it? Something like that. Brokenback Mountain.
Brokenback Mountain? Is that like South of the River's version? I've got two other news items I think we should discuss.
Oh, yes, please.
One of them for Mr. London, it's the news that Ben Thaler's retired.
He's refereed 442 Super League fixtures, made his debut in 2005. His last fixture will be this weekend, Wakefield Trinity versus Doncaster. Yeah.
I'm waiting for the voice, so...
Is that you, Mother?
There it is. Lovely. Lovely job. And my other news thing, because, like, you know, just looking around, when we get on to talking about St. Helens, that Minchella's lost his appeal. So has he? Available.
Oh, yeah, good.
He won't be available for that match.
Where are we going to rank? If we had a score from, you know, 0 to 5. Oh, no, we'll do 0 to 10. We're strictly back on the telly.
Yes.
Dishwater's time at Warrington. What score are you giving him?
Gosh, this is difficult.
I'm giving him a 7. And I'll tell you
7!
What. He basically... did a job, I think. He wasn't ever going to sort of, you know, be a standout top halfback, but he did a job and held it together. And I always said he was the linchpin of, you know, just the ball goes through his hands and he does a bit of kicking. That's it. And he did a job.
I'm more Craig Greville Driveway. I'd be more like a 4. Let's say. Like a 4. Sam? You're the head judge.
Do the voice. I'm Shirley. Hiya, you all right?
Ben Fazer.
He's on form this morning. He's meant to be ill this morning.
I know.
Then, isn't
he's really like going, isn't he?
I felt you weren't quite scouse enough. Can you make it a bit more scouse for Shirley?
I can go like this. I'm fucking hell. I'd tell him it's a tenner if he shagged 15 birds in a week and cut the clap.
Six.
I would give a 10. I would give a 10 to Andy Gregory, Keith Holden, Greg Mackey. I'd give a nine to Alfie Langer. Now here's a controversy for you. I'd only give Johns a 6. Mm. I don't think Andrew Johns did much at Wyre. I mean, he brought the crowd in and he kicked a ball up at the start, which Leifel clobbered someone. I think it was Burrow he clobbered, wasn't it? And we went on to score. But he had a shocking game against Hull when we went out.
He did.
So I'm only giving Johns a 6. I'm giving Drinkwater a 4. I'm currently giving Leon Hayes a five.
Why are you giving all these people what's going on? You're just randomly going, I'm giving him this. He's got the Strictly fever. Fucking hell. Why don't you just get yourself a load of fucking cards? Sam, how much are you giving Drinkwater, if I remember the thread of where we were?
6. I'm not quite with you, Dennis, but I do agree. Whatever, you know, when you have these customer surveys and they say, can you fill it in and give me a 10, please? Because that goes towards my bonus. Mm. Whatever the number is where it's neutral, that's what I'm giving him.
He's only giving him 7 because he's like Len. He's gone potty in his last year. Bit senile. Oh, stuck up anything. Oh, 7. Oh.
Oh, dear.
Right, I need to go and have a shit, lads. So I'm going to just stick in here a 6.5 minute interview of Sam Burgess on Sky.
I'm delighted to say that we've been joined by Warrington head coach Sam Burgess. Good to see you, Sam. Before we look at the playoffs, Wolves have had a really strong first season under your leadership. How pleased have you been with how the players have responded to you?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. It's been a great year so far. The regular season's finished last weekend and, you know, we had a successful year in terms of development and growth and saw a lot of young players come through, but it's been really exciting. But now we're getting to the business end. We have 3 weeks of finals and looking forward to charging up the trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we talk about that, you know, regardless of what happens in this match at the weekend, will you reflect on the regular season with huge satisfaction then?
Oh, yeah, come on, Vicky. We can't say that yet. We're going to go hard at the game on the weekend, but We've certainly enjoyed our progression as a group. There's been different connections made. There's been people learn the game. We had 3 players today named in the Super League Dream Team, which is great for us as a club. But certainly we're trying to change the course of history with a few different things. But you know, it's taken a lot of hard work and teamwork and dedication to get here. So we're excited and confident leading into the finals that our game can withstand the pressure. We just have to get it now on the field.
Yeah, look, I want to make you blush a little bit because I knew you were going to be quite modest about it, but let's talk about your stats because they finished the regular season with the best attacking and defensive records in the competition. So that's going to have to make you feel proud. You've got the most points scored, 740. You conceded the least, 319. Points difference, 421. And the only Super League team over the 400 points mark. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, we just didn't finish first. That's the only thing. Probably came down to... It's a very tight game. We lost a game earlier in the year by a point to Wigan, who ended up winning the league. So that game was really influential in that. But, you know, we've been really consistent. The guys have really worked hard at what's been good for our team. But it's obviously a step forward for us. You know, essentially, it comes down to moments. Moments that cost us finishing first, second or third. You know, and it'll be now a couple of moments that define the winners of the league in the next 3 weeks. So, you know, we have to be ready for the moment. Yeah, I dare say the guys are ready for the moment. You know, they're prepared well enough. They're confident in each other. They just have to get to the game now in good order and compete when the moments matter. Take them.
Yeah, talk about those moments because Friday's win over the Broncos, as you said, not quite enough for second place. You've got to have been happy with what you saw that night, though.
Yeah, well, we haven't conceded points for the last 3 games. In fact, we conceded a penalty goal in 3 games ago against St. Helens, who we're playing on Saturday. But other than that, we've not conceded any points for the last three games, which is a great feat. So defensively, our game's holding up, and you know, that'll stand us in great stead through the finals. It's the number one stat that I wanted to change at the club when I arrived here. It's a, you know, a change of mindset and change of application to that, and a bit of an attitude thing. So I dare say we've changed. That's been a great sort of progression for us. You know, and to win the league or win the competition, you have to have great defence. So, you know, hopefully that gets in great order, and looking forward to another great defensive display on Saturday afternoon.
Sam, you said attitude. Sorry, I'm just going to pin a question on that. What did you mean by
that's
that?
Good. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it was a main focus point of the club before I came. I don't think, you know, that's not being disrespectful to previous coaches or previous administration. I just think, you know, defence can be a mindset. It's the hardest part of the game. You know, it takes an absolute commitment from each player. So it's something we've worked hard at. You have to have a conscious effort to change. And each player has, and players that haven't will have not made the side or they've moved on. So, you know, we've made a conscious effort in our mindset and attitude to change that. But it requires absolute commitment from each player. You know, and each moment, there's been times where we've saved points where they have no right to save them. And essentially, they all add up to be helping you become the best defensive side.
Sounds good. It sounds like you've got them ticking in the right areas. Look, talk to us about Matty Ashton, a hat-trick from him. Appears to be scoring for fun, doesn't he, at the moment?
Yeah, he does. He's got a great knack of scoring tries. He's extremely fast. He can sense the try line. He's also got great players inside him there. He's got Toby King, who's an international centre. He's got George Williams, the England captain, and Matt Duffy there, who's just made the dream team this year. They've been putting him in some great positions, but he's done well to finish him. I think he finished the year 27 tries, which is an amazing effort, almost won a game. And he's had a stellar year and well-deserved being in the dream team as well. So, you know, again, for Matt, he's getting close to his potential, and we're really enjoying having him part of our team.
Yeah, he's looking good, isn't he? Look, you know what it's like to be involved in the playoffs. So what do you say to your team ahead of this huge game at the weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, they're ready, OK? They're ready to compete at this level. You know, they've shown that consistently over the past 31 weeks. You know, we've been in every single game we played. The biggest losing margin was, I think, 10 points. So we've never been away from a game. So the guys are ready. They consistently have been performing. So, you know, nothing changes for us. It's another chance to improve, another chance to take a step forward as a group, you know, and work on a few combinations. But, you know, it's just get there. You've deserved the space, and let's go and get after it.
What about St Helens? They won't worry you, will they?
Well, I mean, they're certainly a great side. You know, they're champions four times in the last 5 years. So, you know, they've got some great experience at this time of year. You know, but we've got a game that we think can hold up under pressure, but we know it's going to be a great task. You know, and we'd have it no other way. It's at our place. It's Halliwell Jones Stadium on Saturday afternoon. You know, but we know they'll come ferocious and ready to play as they've been here before. So, you know, we've got a great task in front of us.
Yeah, just finally, how important will that home crowd be for you at the weekend, do you think?
Yeah, well, you can play a huge part, obviously. You know, it's great having the home support and a bit more, a few more fans in the stadium going your way. But equally, if it's the other way around, we kind of enjoy that as well. So, yeah, I think Saints won't be too upset at the game being at our place. And likewise, we're quite happy to have it at our place as well.
Well, good luck at the weekend for the last few games, if possible.
No, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sam.
Well, she was a bit flirty at the end, wasn't she? A little bit of a giggle at the end.
What was that laugh?
I don't know what Jenna Brooks is going to make of that. She's got competition now.
Bit of jealousy, I think, yeah.
Have you got anything that you picked up on?
I can't. You know, like normally it's been so easy to sort of read between the lines with Warrington coaches and take the piss. But I have to give this lad credit. He's impeccable. I mean, he's obviously been media trained, but I just agree with everything he says.
Okay. You know what?
I think I've finally been hit with the Burgess effect.
I fucking has. He sat on the toilet for 6.5 minutes. He did say moments 5 times when they were talking about this moments. So you've got the music. Is there moments?
Wasn't moments a box of chocolates from Thornton's? Were they called moments?
Could have been.
You know where Thornton's used to be? Like on that little precinct going through to... Where are you going? You're going towards the Golden Gates. It was on the left. So you got to the top of Britain. Yeah. There was a nightclub next to that. What was that nightclub called where you used to go up the stairs? It was fucking horrendous in there. Was that Evergreens?
Oh, no.
Evergreens was round the back.
Carlton Club.
And the Carlton Club.
Was it?
Yeah.
Remember going Someone mistook me dance. For Bross in the Carlton Club once.
You're joking. What, both of them?
he had his white T-shirt and his leather jacket on. Jesus Christ, never took that off for about 4 years.
Grolsch bottle tops on
no,
you.
No, I wasn't a townie. It wasn't a townie, Sam. It was never a townie. Jesus, no. I'm having Kappa tracksuit bottoms on next.
Let's go through the Sam Burgess
detail. I digress, yeah.
Yeah, he was on about, like, you know, what he's
just
changed.
A minute, can I stop
mainly?
You there a second? Can I stop you there a second, Dennis? Yeah, and just mention, do you notice there, Rob, he's reading from notes he's made. He's prepped this. Go on, carry on.
Oh, I've just dropped me coffee.
I've just
oh, what, you're having on a whiskey there, Dennis? What are you drinking?
No, it's beer. It's gone a bit flat. It's a bit flat.
Did you try any Portuguese or Spanish beer?
I tried all sorts.
Of course you did.
We went to Porto and we did a port tasting at about 5 ports, about 10 in the morning again. Right. I found one I like, actually. Thought it was an old person's drink, but, you know, that's another story. Anyway, his focus, he keeps going on about, is changing the attitude towards defence. So that's where he feels like he's got most of the success, I think.
Right. That left edge isn't as fragile as it used to be.
No.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Remember that brittle edges we used to have?
Do you think, though, that could be a problem for us, being that the last few games have been blowouts and it's looked pretty good defensively, but the teams that we've been playing haven't really got a strong offence, have they?
Well,
what do you think?
Well, you look at Anthony Joshua. I mean, he fought that UFC fighter and, you know, knocked him out very quickly. And then he got absolutely battered at Wembley on Saturday night. Wasn't ready. Said he'd gone soft. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a hard one, that, isn't it? You can only play what's in front of you. So, I don't know. You rest all those bumps and bruises and you come back stronger for a big game. It's tricky to know.
I mean, thinking about it, you know, the next sort of target after having a good defence is to nil the opposition. And they've done that quite comfortably as well. So, you know, you've got to give them credit for it. So, but, you know, we're going to get tested when we start talking about St. Helens. So,
Is that it? You done? Got any more notes there? He's looking down again. Can he find anything in the margin, possibly? Has he got anything down there? He's still looking.
He did say charge at the trophy. I did wonder what he meant by that. But I think he just meant a charge in the playoffs sort of thing. Got nothing else now. Can we move on?
Predictions.
We can predict the future.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Okay, it's squeaky bum time, as why I host their old rivals, St. Helens. The quarterfinal eliminator is this Saturday. Kickoff is 5:30 p.m. The game is live on both Sky and the BBC. Here's Hal.
The last year Wire won the championship was 1955. The very same year, my hero, English mathematician Alan Turing, was found dead in his bed with a cyanide-laced apple on his nightstand. Turing helped solve the German Enigma code, but wrote a paper in 1954 theorizing within 75 years humans would be outpaced by artificial intelligence, and there would be no hope for humanity. So, basically, Warrington, it's now or never. Therefore, here's hoping Wire beat Saints, scoring 70% of the points. Besides, I don't like apples.
Well, that was a bit depressing by Hal, but it's gone for 70% win to Wire. Now, it's getting very tight at the top in the predictions between you two. Dennis
It
picked
is,
up 2 points last week. He just snuck that extra point for being the closest. I mean, I'm gone. I think I'm pretty much Huddersfield. I've gone on my predictions party holiday, so I might just, I don't know what I'm going to do this week.
You might as well predict a Saints win. Isn't it interesting that, you know, we went through all the permutations best we could. There was all sorts going on last week. Sam was checking the other games. I think I was tuning in a couple of times, just checking the scores and seeing what had happened. But we ended up with probably, well, is it the worst team?
Get on with it.
Playing? So anyway, St. Helens have got all the players back. Wellens looks a bit of a daft bugger, what he said last week. But I'm going to go for a wire win of 74.1%.
So I'll just put that down as 74 then. Don't need his shitty 1.1% shite on the end.
No, I've chosen that for a reason.
Have you?
Yeah, it's one of your stats.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, yes, of course it was.
Yes.
Yes, well done. Well done. Well, we've played St. Helens six times in postseason playoffs.
Oh.
Won three, lost three.
Hmm.
Hmm. So whether that has any bearing on...
It has no bearing whatsoever.
66%.
66%.
Warrington.
Now, I mean, come on, boys. We've been here a million times. I've been watching this lot play since 1974. The Burgess effect's not rubbing off on me. I will say...
what do you mean it's not rubbing? You said you did when you were on the toilet a bit ago. Fuck's sake.
Come on. Do you not know this? Do you not know Warrington Rugby League Club? We are going to lose. St. Helens are going to win, scoring 66% of the points.
So you are going for a Saints win?
Yeah, definitely.
To be fair, Rob, we did say this. When Dennis couldn't be bothered to get a signal, we did actually say this, didn't we? We said it was all set up for St. Helens and... that's what's going to happen. But no, I'm staying positive. Dennis is staying 74% positive.
74.1.
Okay, well, hopefully we will be back with Wire safely into the semi-final. But until then, it's an all the best from Sam.
All the best, guys.
I'll be seeing you from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
And a goodbye from me. Goodbye. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Do you think we can get some sort of branded socks off Simon Morrell?
Oh, for God's sake, Dennis.
If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing to it. No life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.